It's a particular pleasure for me to be here for this session because it was actually myself who recruited Fergal into the SDLP. It's my fault. but I'm delighted to see him as deputy leader of the party. The first time that I met him, I could tell the passion and the promise that he would bring to our party. When we were considering who should introduce Fergal, I was immediately taken back to a Sunday night in Newry in November at the selection convention for the Newry and Armagh constituency when Karen McKevitt, currently MLA for South Down, soon to be one of our two MLAs for Newry and Armagh, delivered one of the most powerful addresses that I've heard at an SDLP event in a very long time. She spoke to the heart and soul of the party, and so I'm delighted to invite Karen to the stage now to introduce our deputy leader.
Thank you very much, Conference, and thank you, Ronan, for your lovely, kind words. And we all know that you are right. There is going to be two seats in Newry and Armagh. Sometimes you think you know someone very well. I thought I knew the person I'm about to introduce very well until recently. I found out over a coffee that he hails from this great city. I was sure that our silver fox pegged as a Fermanagh man. But I guess I can't be right all of the time. Fergal was elected SDLP deputy leader in November 2015 and has served as an MLA for South Belfast and party health spokesperson since September 2013. And I think it's fair to say that he has excelled in his role as health spokesperson, holding successive DUP ministers to account for their failure to get to grips with our health service. Fergal has held two extremely successful conferences, one for the older people's healthcare and the other on how we can fix our ailing health service. He has committed himself to listening to the concerns of our doctors, our nurses, other healthcare staff, patients, and our families. Together, with our new party leader, Colm Eastwood, Fergal has proven himself to be an excellent deputy leader. He is fiercely ambitious for the future of this party. Fergal has helped to instill discipline and professionalism in this party. He is dedicated, along with the rest of us, to building a better future for everyone. It is my pleasure to welcome him to this platform, our SDLP Deputy Leader, Fergal McKinney, MLA.
Thank you very much, Karen. I've got another one of these in the sink at home. Thank you for the very kind introduction. And it is a pleasure to be with you here in this historic and beautiful city, my hometown, as Karen quite rightly says. And I spent my first few years living only a stone's throw away, in fact, in Ewing Street, just over the road. And I'm an infrequent visitor back and don't get as much time here as I'd like to. But when I do come here, I always feel like I'm coming home, and I always get a lovely, warm welcome. And I think that was epitomised this morning in the words of Mark Durkin Sr. The welcome we got from our three MLAs at the breakfast this morning, and indeed the warm welcome that this party got from all of the local members. And two of those who would have given that warm welcome, but we've lost since the last conference, and I'd like you to acknowledge them today, Charlie McLaughlin and Brendan O'Connor. Thank you. Colleagues, this is a pivotal moment in the history of the SDLP and indeed of this island. Today, we have an opportunity to reflect on what the SDLP did to facilitate peace, and we've talked about that this morning, and to spell out what we will do to consolidate and build upon that hard-won peace in 2016 and beyond. We are a party that can be proud of our history and significant contribution to making Northern Ireland a safer place to live, work and raise a family. But we won't stop short of that ambition. Our ambition for the people of this island runs much, much deeper than that. Our people can and should dare to dream that life can be better, that our children won't be forced to leave these shores for the promise of work in Australia or America, that our health service can provide a service that is fit for the 21st century, that we can provide world-class education and training for our young people and become a much more cohesive society, at peace, finally, with its troubled past. The SDLP has been a catalyst for change, and I believe that we can all be a force for good in the future too. We need to reach out to those who are disillusioned with politics and demonstrate the courage and conviction which SDLP giants demonstrated in the past. 45 years after this great party was formed, it's time to recapture the spirit and zeal which helped transform our society. Our delicate political system is facing challenges the Good Friday Agreement could never have foreseen. While the bombing and shooting may have ceased, we still have an extremely fragile process which often stops and stalls. Far too many issues remain unresolved, most notably the hurt and pain of victims, which the Fresh Start Agreement failed to adequately and comprehensively address. The people of this city know far too well the pain and hurt of the past. We cannot let that pain affect and inhibit another generation. Following the Good Friday Agreement, there was hope for a new dawn in politics here. We hoped that having partnership and power sharing at the centre would create the political space for reconciliation. That changed with the St Andrews Agreement, which encouraged some parties to maximise their vote by standing as single community champions and adopting the politics of fear. Were any of us really surprised by the comments last week of Arlene Foster when she reverted to type and appealed to the DUP faithful for their vote to ensure Martin McGuinness doesn't become First Minister? And I can tell you now, put a bet on it, we can safely predict the main thrust of the upcoming Sinn Féin conference will be vote for us and we'll make Martin McGuinness our First Minister over Arlene Foster. It's as sure as eggs is eggs. So in that context, who needs programme for government targets or new policies or fresh starts when we can reduce the democratic debate to such simplicities? Will the SDLP have no such desire to reduce politics to that low bar? Our expectations should and must be higher. We have a vision for a new and united Ireland. That vision will only be realised if we commit to doing three things. We must reconcile people across Northern Ireland and reconcile all the people of these islands. Secondly, we should ensure meaningful social justice for all, including our most vulnerable and most marginalised citizens. And thirdly, we must ensure that Northern Ireland works, that jobs and investment opportunities are created, that education and training facilities are providing opportunities for our young people, and that our health and social care system serves the best needs of patients and staff. On the horizon, we have the Assembly elections and the vital referendum on Britain's membership of the EU, which we've been just discussing. The voices of a new generation of SDLP, MLAs, councillors and party activists will play an important part in ensuring that the electorate are given a positive voice in the Assembly and persuaded to do the right thing on Europe. And the right thing for Northern Ireland, this island, and the UK is to stay in Europe. We must carefully and clearly spell out our vision to voters and banish the kind of scare tactics other parties are adopting. The SDLP will be working for each and every precious vote. I firmly believe our positive and proactive brand of politics is something the electorate recognised before, and with our hard work and dedication, they can trust in us yet again. Our party has never been about putting our own selfish interests first. We act in the best interests of this place, and we mean it when we say we want Northern Ireland to work. Conference, following the Assembly election, this party will heavily scrutinise the programme for government. If it doesn't come up to the mark, then we won't be afraid to say it. In particular, I want this programme for government to adopt a much more joined-up style of government, which delivers much greater accountability and transparency. I don't want to see departments acting in silos. We've seen how that has held us back. That doesn't lead to best outcomes. Many of you will know how passionate I am about seeing an overhaul of our health and social care policy. The system's no longer compatible with the culture and lifestyles of people living in 2016. I, along with my party colleagues, will be arguing that the programme for government must make health an absolute executive priority with commitment from all government departments, and that will be a red line. Many healthcare workers and patients have voiced their concerns to me that the system is buckling under such severe pressure. A glance at any of our newspapers would tell you the same. The current healthcare system is not fit for purpose. And importantly, that is no slight on our dedicated and fearless health staff. It is rather an indictment of successive failures on the part of DUP ministers. A queue of them, by the way. And I say, enough is enough. I don't want to read any more health horror stories. It's time the executive took collective responsibility for health and once and for all tackled the issues together. If we begin to make the changes we require in health, this will have infinite positive knock-on consequences in workplaces and right across our community. Another vitally important issue for the SDLP is the need to create a prosperity process. During the Fresh Start talks, I, along with party colleagues, argued that we desperately needed to create jobs, improve infrastructure, and attract investment. Northern Ireland has a population of 1.8 million, and shockingly, less than half of them are economically active. We're falling behind our nearest neighbours, and indeed right across Europe. And here's the deal. At present, we generate revenues of £14 billion a year, and yet we consume £24 billion in public services. And with the Conservatives committed to their stringent austerity programme, there will be no special dispensation for the North. Never mind what's going to come or potentially happen in Europe. Right now, there's no special dispensation. So our situation is fundamentally and economically unsustainable. And that is why we won't accept anything less than a detailed prosperity strategy from May. Our current deficit will do nothing for our goal for Irish unity unless we can make Northern Ireland work and sustain itself financially. Our desire for unity is actually pushed further away. We need to do everything we can to bring investment and job opportunities, especially given recent job losses. And one specific thing we should ask for and ask for now, Invest Northern Ireland's Jobs Fund should be resurrected given its success at creating over 4,000 jobs and promoting many more opportunities. That fund was instrumental in helping local companies create new jobs and new jobs quickly. With a number of devastating job losses affecting our society, just name Bombardier, Gallagher's, Michelin, Caterpillar, companies need our help to keep their doors open and their staff employed. The Jobs Fund clearly met the needs of businesses and helped local companies win new business, reach new markets and grow. We may have tilted our focus towards our exports in the short term, but we need to look at improving the landscape for business, particularly small and sub-regional business, who are trying to sustain themselves in very, very difficult circumstances. Our prosperity strategy for Northern Ireland should also include a massive programme of workforce training and skill enhancement. At its core, strong collaboration between business and third level education linked to research and development investment, in line with the best practice in the south of Ireland and across Europe. We also need to meaningfully address the levels of social deprivation that prevent far too many people here from reaching their potential. And in terms of the health service, all of the stuff that happens, all of the mental health, all of the issues that dominate the headlines emanate from that long-term deprivation, social and long-term unemployment. The legacy of the Troubles has meant that some areas in particular have fallen behind. What sort of society are we if we continue to allow the most marginalised to be pushed out? Creating much better social cohesion and integration must be another programme for government requirement. So, health reform, job creation, better infrastructure, creating world-class education, and tackling social deprivation are issues the SDLP are not prepared to compromise on. Stagnation at Stormont is no longer an option. In the next mandate, we want to deliver for the people of Northern Ireland, make things work and drive the changes that our young people are crying out for. So let's raise our expectations and dare to dream that the Northern Ireland we live and work in can be better. It will be better, and the SDLP will make sure it is a better future for all. Thank you.